I really am. I'm a new member. I didn't come out of public health schools, and I didn't start most. My early professional career was not in public health, but I think I've been doing it now for about 15 years, so I should just come out of the closet and be proud. So, Health Through Action, Building Capacity of Asian American Native Hawaiians. I'm with the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum. This is our 25th anniversary. We started before color photographs. Influencing policy, mobilizing communities, and strengthening programs are our mission. How we operationalize that mission at the Community Capacity Program is, again, building the capacity of nonprofit service organizations to advocate relationship building and educating policy and decision makers, mainstream allies about health and healthcare needs, and developing and supporting a national network of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islanders, supporting community mobilization to impact strategies. We're a national policy organization that works with community partners locally. Health Through Action, which is the investment that I'm going to talk about today, we're in our fifth year of a five-year program. This is our last year with the Health Through Action. It's a partnership between the Kellogg Foundation and the Health Forum and 18 community collaboratives in 15 states from Hawaii to Rhode Island. And it's addressing health gaps within Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islanders communities. It is a large program. At the time, it was the largest single investment in Asian American health. That was 5 years ago. I think, unfortunately, it still remains the largest investment, and we need more investment. There were five main areas that were addressed in the program, so community capacity, strengthening local communities' ability to develop and sustain collaboratives to improve health. There was a range of activities around data and research. Policy and advocacy was a strong focus of the program, the development of a Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander health agenda, as well as a creation and support of a national network. The big idea for this was that we could improve the health, communities could improve the health of vulnerable AA and NHPI children and their families by increasing access. So it was really targeted at improving access at the local level. And the way we address this, the way we organize it, is that in order to increase access, we were targeting both policy and systems changes at the federal and at the local level through greater systems of accountability by mainstream providers to culturally competent and linguistically appropriate care, and through coordinated systems and investments, more investments in programming targeting Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders. And the reason why we chose that strategy is, again, because we felt that the way we could affect the access, the way we make those changes, because of the nature of Asian American communities, Pacific Islander communities, and Native Hawaiian communities, was the need to increase visibility, to address health gaps and disparity gaps through seats at the table and by continuing to strengthen communities. So the capacity building and the investments that we made, in particular, I want to talk about why the choices that we made in doing that. So to increase visibility, we did a range of activities from developing and improving data to raising awareness and community voices. The capacity building that we provided was both on research and development, through coaching and training. How do you develop the data that you already have and communicating that data? We also did strategic communications training and capacity building, developing communications plans, and a range of training on how for communities to communicate that. And again, by playing a role as a national advocate, we were able to raise up these voices and aggregate these voices. Closing the gap, we worked with community coalitions, and part of the original RFP was that the community partners needed to be part of a coalition or collaborative. They could convene their own collaborative. So we have both pan-Asian Pacific Islander coalitions, and also cross-cultural and cross-sector coalitions, a range of that throughout the 15 states. We've since expanded it to allow memberships in geographic areas that have smaller Asian American populations, Pacific Islander populations, and are working with lead agencies, and I'll go into that a bit later. And a lot of investment was done on collaborative leadership, being able to develop and lead a coalition, whether it's a Pan-Asian coalition or a cross-cultural, cross-sector coalition. Increased investment in outreach services. About a third of our organizations are health centers, about a third are service providers, intermediaries, and a third are a mix of other types of service groups. So, and then commitment, again, by mainstream advocacy for investments. Seats at the table. Besides, we worked across the U.S. So from New York, where the coalition there was a very mature coalition of 18 community organizations, including Charles B. Wang and CDCs and a number of very mature organizations, to coalitions in Georgia, coalitions in Arizona that maybe have less of a community infrastructure. Our Arizona partner, the executive director, is here today. When they became a partner in the coalition and through Health Through Action, had been a nonprofit for less than 3 years. So they were a new organization in an emerging community. And one of the focus of our capacity building, and this was arrayed through a number of different ways, from coaching through trainings and technical assistance, was again around relationships, being at the table, developing systems and structures that really allow Asian American Pacific Islander communities to be a part of the decision making that happens, and increasing mainstream accountability. And then strengthen communities, continue to strengthen communities. And again, since many of our organizations were service providers, providing them with traditional organizational development and some grant support so that they continue their outreach and education. So besides traditional capacity building around organizational development and leadership development, we added components around leading collaboratives, collaborative development, capacity building specifically around policy advocacy, research evaluation and data, strategic communications, and linking them all together through a national learning and sharing coordinating network. So our 18 states, we have four of the 10 most populated states, Hawaii, California, New York, and Texas, but we're also working in Rhode Island and Utah and Ohio and New Mexico and other states as well. And in particular, they're a mix of statewide and local coalitions. So Oregon and Ohio are working statewide. Others are working in their either county or local jurisdictions. And again, the reason why we chose to go beyond traditional organizational development and capacity building was this need for increasing visibility, addressing this either the model minority myth or, more importantly, the we're just a hidden or ignored population, to reduce health disparities. What was the phrase? Seats at the table. If you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Or you're part of the exotic part of the menu that nobody really wants to order from anyway. And so addressing that, and then again addressing a civic engagement component. And this is, remember now, this is in communities where immigrant or migrant communities where civic engagement or civic activities might have gotten killed back home. And so this is a new form of empowerment and engagement for our communities. So, and again, through convenings, webinars, coaching, cohort-based training, we use both local and national trainers, as well as workshops. So before I get to some of the outcomes, and I wanted to highlight that, we did a couple of things. We provided some grant dollars. They ranged from $150,000 a year to about $20,000 or $30,000 a year. So there was some money. We provided a range of capacity building, both locally and nationally. But we started with amazing partners. So it's hard for us to say what we're trying to determine what worked and why. Was it the coaching? Was it that? We're going to continue to evaluate that. We're in our last year of the project. But I wanted to highlight some of the outcomes. But it really starts with these guys did amazing work with the work. So increased visibility, our partners in Georgia, as part of, they were a 30-some-odd year organization. It's originally founded by Korean community to address the health needs. They've since become a Pan-Asian coalition and are now addressing some Pacific Islander health as well. But Georgia Department of Health released a report, health disparities report, that was wrong. They misrepresented the Asian American numbers the conclusion that you would have drawn from that is that Asian Americans don't have health challenges in Georgia. The Georgia group, because of the, helped by, I think, some of the advocacy training, some of the communications training, and other things, did work, advocate to the department, received some monies to do an addendum. They worked with Morehouse College and the department to develop that. They're in the process now of publishing that. They resurveyed the community, wrote up the data, and it's going to be now an addendum to that. In Hawaii, our partners there, Kalihi Kukua Valley Community Comprehensive Family Services, are working with residents in their local area. These are Marshallese families, and they're really doing an incredible job allowing the community to tell their own story and to tell it in a natural way. And this is a presentation all on itself, but I'd like you to think about that. And then come see me afterwards for more details. But they're bringing families together with service providers in a work environment to work in their farm, and it's really allowing both the moms to really demonstrate strengths and demonstrate their assets, but are creating spaces where providers can communicate for the first time together, and then providers and community can convene. We've also raised visibility. There was a special edition, Focus on Asian American Health on the American Journal for Public Health, Progress for Community Program, PCHP, Johns Hopkins, Programs in, thank you. And then the Poverty Race Research Action Council Journal also did a focus issue on Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander health. Closing the gap, leveraging resources. Texas partner, $1.3 million over the last couple of years to increase targeted cancer outreach. Arizona, again, what I like is that maybe you can talk to Doug after, who's sitting back in there. The raising the issues to the Maricopa County Health Department and their new commitment on patient navigation. NHANES oversampling this year now, Asian Americans was huge. That was part of some of the advocacy work that was done. Advocacy work needs to continue because we need to get oversampling for Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders. This is just for Asian Americans. Seats at the table. Our partners are a part of these advisory councils that are being convened, as well as the HHS Regional Equity Councils. Strengthening communities, we've had a range of community participation. Some are emerging communities with very limited infrastructure, new communities. Others are much more mature, but they've done amazing work. So in closing, let me finish up really quickly. In addition to the organizational development, I encourage you folks to look at both supporting service and advocacy. I agree with Kavika that the it's not just the interventions that need to happen, but there's political and other changes, and we need to invest both in the the capacity building in service and organizational improvement, but also within advocacy, address specific community needs. And for the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders, it's the visibility, it's disparities, it's power and influence. And we're not going to be able to address, truly close this gap without building the capacity to affect change in these sections. And then one of the things I think we've learned from this is that we really need to focus on cross-sector and cross-cultural coalitions. When you're working with community groups in New Mexico and others, the population, Asian American population in New Mexico is measured in the thousands. I think it's 140,000 in Arizona statewide. These are small groups. You need to have cross-sector, cross-cultural partnerships in order to address. More information, Charmaine Manansala and Tam Nguyen, that's their contact information if you'd like more information on the program. And I don't know if we have time for questions, but thank you for listening.